Well, let's start with an easy question. How much money has been frozen?
We really don't know. There is an estimated 3.6 billion Swiss francs sitting in Switzerland's banks. This is a figure which comes from the federal authorities, but it covers all assets from Egypt. And it's very unclear how much money Mubarak has in Switzerland, whether in the banks or in properties.
I've seen this figure of 70 billion floating around.
Well, there's no proof on this. This is a figure which has been bandied around by the media and it's been denied by the American authorities. They talk about 3 billion. There are also reports that the Mubaraks have this, the family has a huge property portfolio, New York, Paris, London, Beverly Hills, Sharm el-Sheikh, and this money was controlled by a network of companies controlled by the Mubarak's sons. But everything remains very opaque at the moment.
But one thing that is certain is that the Swiss authorities were very quick to block Mubarak's accounts. I mean, within 30 minutes of the news coming out that he'd been toppled, the Swiss had frozen his accounts. One of the main questions seems to be why Switzerland waited until he had been kicked out to block his accounts.
Well, as a head of state, it's very difficult for them to block an account. Switzerland, unlike many other countries, does not need a court order to freeze suspicious accounts. But you have to look at Switzerland compared with other countries. It moved very quickly, and if you look at the situation now, Switzerland is the good pupil, which is basically out there on its own as the only one who seems to have frozen the accounts. All the others are slightly dithering, and this is part of Switzerland's efforts to profile itself as a clean financial centre. It's really positioning itself here.
Anti-corruption campaigners, they welcomed the move, this the blocking of the accounts, but they added that the money shouldn't have been let in the first place. I mean, they've got a point, haven't they?
Well, that's true. This move was welcomed by quite a number of anti-corruption campaigners. Daniel Thelisglaff, the executive director of the Swiss-based International Centre for Asset Recovery, told me he really saw this as an important step forward. And he was hoping, obviously, that other financial centres around the world would follow the Swiss example. And obviously, it was also up to the Egyptians, really, to start their criminal investigations. And others saw this as an example of the Swiss government learning its lesson from the case of the Tunisian former president Ben Ali, where the Swiss was slightly late and money was apparently taken out of Swiss bank accounts during the final days before he fled. So, yes, I mean, it has been welcomed, but at the same time, I have heard comments. People have been saying to me, you know, Switzerland could have been quicker in identifying it in the first place and criticizing Swiss anti-money laundering law. They have an effective system to freeze assets, but there are still question marks over the monitoring of money, how it gets there in the first place. You know, banks' obligation to exercise due diligence, is it being taken seriously enough? And are politicians really holding the banks to this? They're asking, what's the point in being a pioneer in freezing and returning money when it's turning up in the first place? But You know, there are other voices. We've had a lot of debate at the moment in Switzerland over this. Other people saying, you know, Switzerland has managed to clean up its act since the 90s, and it's accepting a lot less private foreign money from Africa, Middle East, Europe, these dodgy billions. This has been compensated by more institutional funds.
It raises questions of how dictators deposit their money. Presumably they don't just march in wearing their dictator outfit with a skip full of money and ask to speak to a financial advisor.
It's done through lawyers, it's done through different companies. It seems the Mubarak family own a big property portfolio. One story I read was that a five-story home in Belgravia, which was reportedly owned by one of his sons, the owner was a registered Panama company. The property agent came from London, and the lawyer responsible for the house received his instructions from Oman. So it's incredibly difficult to follow what happens here.
It's a real labyrinth of...
It's incredibly complex, yeah. But one criticism from Swiss bankers I've heard is that Switzerland claims that it has a very good know-your-customer rules. These are all part of the tightening up on money laundering in the 90s, and that they monitor clients' financial activity and they clarify unusual transactions. One complaint from bankers is that a substantial proportion of money comes from US and UK banks, that they're not doing a good job on their side. At the same time, anti-corruption campaigners also say there is a problem, though, with Switzerland's anti-money laundering law in the fact that it only covers financial intermediaries and it doesn't cover property. So one concern is that dodgy money is being invested in large properties. There has been a lot of attention in Geneva on spiraling property prices paid by new residents from Central Asia and Russia, Kazakhs and Uzbeks buying huge properties worth 40 million Swiss francs. I mean, where is this money coming from?
So what happens next? Is there a commission that will look into the Mubarak case?
Well, the Swiss government is currently examining the Egyptian request, which came through 4 or 5 days after Switzerland asked its banks to look into and block the assets belonging to Mubarak and his entourage. It says that if the request meets legal requirements, then the Justice Ministry will then decide which Swiss authorities should deal with it, and then it will go through the normal procedure for possible restitution of assets. These things history shows, take an awful long time.
Switzerland has a pretty poor reputation when it comes to accepting dodgy money, as many of SwissInfo's readers have made clear in their feedback. What measures has Switzerland taken to try to improve its reputation?
Well, I think this recent decision to freeze Mubarak's assets is quite revealing. I mean, Switzerland has worked hard in recent years to get rid of its image as a haven for ill-gotten gains, and it likes to say that it has returned some 1.7 billion Swiss francs of looted funds over the past 15 years, much more, it claims, than any other major financial center. Switzerland has also frozen assets belonging to Tunisia's former president, Ben Ali, and the Ivory Coast's Laurent Gbagbo, who refused to step down recently. These were recent cases. The Restitution of Illicit Assets Act has also entered into force on the 1st of February, and this the so-called Duvalier Law, which allows Switzerland to immediately freeze and confiscate funds of politically exposed persons. This is a tailor-made law for failed regimes, which allows Switzerland to freeze funds even if it's not being asked to return them by the state. These are steps which Switzerland has been taking, and that indicate that it wants to sort of buy itself a new image and profile itself as a clean financial center.
Simon Bradley in Geneva.